Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Can math give you a better March Madness basketball bracket? Let's go in depth with Russ Goodman, professor of math at Central College. Professor Goodman, what's sports analytics?
Sports analytics is the idea of using a lot of different techniques from mathematics, from probability, from statistics, to analyze sports and kind of understand either how a game or a season played out, or to try to potentially predict how things will play out in the future. And that has, and that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg, because you think of how many different sports are out there, and you think of how many different aspects of a given sport there are to look at, and it's just really a rabbit hole that you can dive down into and go a lot of different directions.
And you use sports analytics to have examples to teach students how to think analytically.
Absolutely. Sports analytics, or just analytics in general, is really all about problem solving. And it starts with a question. You know, you want to understand something a little better, or you want to probe into something, and you have to figure out how to answer that question. And sometimes that means acquiring some data and analyzing it. Sometimes it means maybe creating your own data in some way, but a lot of it is just pure problem solving, which applies way beyond just the sports world. I mean, you can have the similar sort of questions in politics, in healthcare, in a lot of different areas.
Well, and one of the things that a lot of people are interested in right now is March Madness. Explain what March Madness is first.
Yeah, so March Madness is connected to NCAA basketball, so men's and women's. And basically every March, there's a tournament to determine who the champion is going to be, on the men's and women's side, and it's called March Madness. And at its core, it's basically a tournament involving 64 teams. I mean, technically there's 68 teams, but 64 is sort of the traditional number. And they're put into a bracket. So you have four regions in the bracket. And there are 16 teams in each of those regions. And the teams are seeded 1 through 16, and it's just sort of typical ranking style. So number 1 plays number 16, number 2 plays number 15, and so on and so forth. And it's just a single elimination tournament until you get to the Final Four, which is the national semifinals. And then there's obviously a championship game. And there's an incredible amount of work time lost in the United States in the month of March, with people pouring over trying to create their own bracket and to predict who's going to win, and to win their pools and maybe win some money or bragging rights with their friends. So it's really a month-long festival of college basketball, and folks just love it. And I really enjoy this time of year too.
And didn't somebody like last year promise $1 billion or $1 million or something for a perfect ticket?
Yeah, that's been on and off for a few years. It's actually been a couple of years since that. But Warren Buffett a few years ago offered $1 billion to anyone who created a perfect bracket, meaning they predicted all 63 games correctly. And that sounds delicious, juicy. I mean, I'd love to win $1 billion. But when you do the math, get on a calculator and raise 2 to the power 63, and you'll see that that's, I think, something like 9 quintillion possible different brackets there are. And that's far more particles of matter that exist in the universe, meaning there are way more brackets out there that are possible, and it's really, really, really unlikely for anyone to actually create a perfect bracket. He should have offered, $500 trillion, and it wouldn't have changed the probability. I don't think anyone is ever going to predict a perfect bracket.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Russ Goodman, professor of math at Central College, about March Madness basketball brackets. Okay, so here's how I used to do it. Is, you know something about the teams. You've watched some of them play. You know what conference they're in. You know what seed they are. You know whether they're in a good conference or a bad conference. You know head-to-head matchups.
Do you know they're in a good conference or a bad conference?
Okay, so...
Right, I mean, these are questions that come up.
I presume that the ACC is better than... Mountain West or whatever it is.
And sure, so it depends on your definition. What define good, right? So you could have a conference that, and this argument comes up a lot in college football too, right? The SEC is, sort of the king of college football. Is that the strongest conference? Well, they're top heavy. I mean, they certainly have Alabama and LSU and like sometimes Florida and other teams, but the bottom half of that league is sometimes pretty ugly too. And same thing in college basketball, right? The ACC is pretty good, but, I mean, North Carolina is at the bottom of that conference this year, and they're a traditional blue blood. Assertions like that just raise questions. Okay, what's your definition of a good conference, right? And that's just a fun conversation to have.
Well, it is.
Because you can quantify that in a lot of different ways.
But you're asking me to sort of overturn my intuition and my just generalized observations in... over facts.
Right. Right.
which is more work to get the facts.
Exactly. That's, and I mean, I think that's a good lead into my talk on Thursday is that, there are obstacles to being able to really reliably predict this tournament. And getting away from your bias is challenging sometimes. So, that's where people like me come along and we want to quantify things. But the obstacles we have to get past are the time it takes to understand all these teams and all these conferences. I mean, there's 64 teams, right? So when, San Diego State is a really good team this year, but I bet you a lot of people don't know a lot about them. But then pick sort of a random number 13 seed that's going to show up, a team like Murray State. I'm just randomly picking. The average basketball fan doesn't know anything about them or their conference. And so the time it takes to research all 64 teams and really understand who has a greater chance to win than another, and that's a challenge, right? So for the average person, part of my talk on Thursday is to maybe arm the people there with some relatively simple tools to help sort of rank these teams and get a sense of objectively who is better than whom. And then destiny takes its turn, right? Sometimes the better team doesn't win just because they just don't win. But you try to do your best.
Well, and you mentioned your talk. It's one of the reasons we're talking. This stuff is really interesting to me. Where and when is your talk?
It's this coming Thursday night, so I believe it's March 5th at 7 o'clock in the Maytag Student Center on Central College's campus. We're going to be in the BMW rooms, really in the main atrium area there in Maytag.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Russ Goodman, professor of math at Central College, about March Madness basketball brackets. Is it hard for us to get over sort of the cultural biases, or social biases rather, that come with being a sports fan, all the different things that we've learned from other people, past experiences, where we just sort of have this mishmash in our head? Is it hard to reject that for facts, Dana?
Yes. Because you want to be right. Mm-hmm. And in your mind, I mean, whether you think you have no bias or you're minimizing it or not, I mean, you're a biased person. So when Iowa shows up in the bracket on Selection Sunday, which they will, they're having a really good season, there will be plenty of folks who, the data, if you look at it objectively, the data might say, okay, they might win a game or two, maybe three, get to the Sweet 16 or whatnot. Are they a real contender for the championship? I don't think they are this year, but you never know. But there are going to be a lot of Iowa fans that are going to find statistics that really serve their purpose in trying to predict Iowa. For example, Iowa going deep into the tournament. I have my bias too. I mean, my team, Oklahoma, is on the bubble right now. I just hope that they even get in. I have no hopes beyond that, and there's no way I'm picking them to win a game. But you know, we as fans, you know, when folks get involved in March Madness, it's just a challenge to really objectively look at teams and identify characteristics that are going to that predict what team's going to win over another.
Well, it's sort of hard. It's if you don't pick, if you're, let's say you're an Iowa fan and you don't pick them, you sort of feel like a traitor.
Oh yeah, and you're going to hear about it from your friends, unless if you don't pick them and you know you pick them to get upset, unless you're right. Right, if Iowa loses to, you know, fill in the blank university, and you know you choose Iowa to lose even though you're an Iowa fan, yeah, your friends might get on you, but you just smile and go, well, but I was still right in the bracket, and I have a better chance of winning our pool, you know. So it's kind of a catch-22. You don't want your friends who are also fans of your team to hate you, but you know, me, I'm a competitive person. I'd rather win than alienate some of my friends temporarily.
Well, it's almost like we can bend the fabric of the universe by, if we pick somebody, we can will their victory by picking their bracket.
Oh, but man. And then, and that's a rabbit hole. I think that unfortunately, those that are really serious or addicted to gambling, I think that's a rabbit hole they get into, is just that compulsion to you know, need and want to be right and to get that bracket as perfect as possible.
Well, it's not right. It's like if you don't vote for your team, it can't happen. It's just so complex intellectually for us if we've been cheering for a team. It's hard to step back.
Yeah, it's funny you point that out. When I teach a course every once in a while called Sports Analytics, and I teach my students how to, you know, create a bracket. I teach the class in the fall most of the time, but we talk about you know, how to rate and rank teams, and I tell them, hey, look, when March comes around, you know, make sure to use some of these ideas and see how it plays out. I always tell my students to create two brackets, one called the head bracket, the other one called the heart bracket. So for the heart bracket, just choose with your heart. Who do you think is going to win? Fill out your bracket and just go with your gut, see how that goes. But the head bracket, you know, use your head, use objective techniques, use some math and statistics and probability, and let that be your guide. And don't cheat. Don't change any of those choices, but use an algorithm that produces a ranking of all 64 teams and fill out the bracket using that, and take a look and see which bracket does better, head versus heart. I'd bet you a nickel right now I know which one's going to turn out better.
Now, Thursday night at your talk, are you going to give us, say, maybe some suggestions as to where to go to get the data so we can construct our bracket?
I am, yeah. I'm actually going to share really one specific but very user-friendly tool that really, I mean, you can use on your phone. You don't really need to be a math person to be able to access a tool. It's called a March Mathness website that a buddy of mine in North Carolina created with his students a few years ago. And it's a really simple tool that I'm going to introduce folks to that use a couple different techniques to rank the teams, so that if you're wanting to be objective and you know, sort of input your sort of criterion for winning, losing, you know, what factors are most important, I'm going to share a tool that'll help you kind of efficiently figure out, you know, who your predicted winner and Final Four and all those teams are going to be. So I'll definitely be spending some time on that Thursday night.
Have you picked your bracket yet?
I haven't. I've played around on on that site, you know, kind of just seeing what the results are. And you know, most of the time when you use this March Mathness tool, you know, there aren't too many surprises. I mean, the top, let's say, four chances for champions this year, there's not a lot of there aren't a ton of teams that are in it this year, even though there's a lot of parity this year. But I think as I've played around with that tool in the last few days, I see the same maybe six or seven teams popping up towards the top. That doesn't mean that those are the teams that are going to win, but there are some teams that pretty much all season, like Kansas and Baylor, even Dayton, that have been, you know, very consistently good this year. But this is as wide open of a tournament as I've seen in a long time.
Can math programs ever pick Cinderella teams?
You can use mathematics to identify factors that lend themselves to being a Cinderella team. There's if those of you that are listening to this, there's a writer with ESPN. His name is Peter Keating. I've had him on campus here before, and he's just a really good dude. He's written for ESPN magazine for quite a while. He doesn't write for him anymore, but he spent quite a bit of time researching what he calls giant killers or bracket busters in the tournament. And he's worked with students over the years to identify the factors that lend themselves to teams being more successful in pulling off an upset. So for example, a team that plays at a slower pace, you know, they're good defensively and they're able to slow the pace of a game down, has at least a somewhat greater chance of pulling an upset versus, you know, maybe a top team, because the fewer possessions. And if they have a night where they're shooting really well and they happen to be playing defense really, really well, that might be the night where if you keep the number of possessions down, then maybe that sort of outlier evening can occur. I mean, if you play, you know, Duke University and you play possession after possession, you're playing fast pace. I mean, the better team is going to win. And Duke most of the time has better players than a lower seeded team. But, you know, Peter Keating and his research has indicated that one of the factors is, yeah, if you can slow the game down and have a good night shooting, you give yourself a good chance.
And where and when is your talk again?
It's this coming Thursday night. It's March 5th, 7 o'clock in the BMW rooms in the Maytag Student Center on Central College's campus.
Well, how fun. This is fun stuff.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time the last few years working on this stuff, and I really enjoy sharing these ideas and hopefully inspiring students and other folks to get involved and to do their own kind of research and you know, find their niche too.
Thanks to Russ Goodman for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.